Today on the DML News Podcast, Donald Trump wins Super Tuesday in huge fashion. Looks like Miss Haley is gone, thank goodness, forever. And of course, the left is going berserk because they see the coming of the end for Joe Biden, especially when it comes to the border. We've got these stories and more, so get ready because it's all unfiltered.
Dennis Michael Lynch gives you his word, and he will never let you down. He will always fight for America.
The only one who really puts his money where his mouth is Dennis Michael Lynch.
Hello, I'm Dennis Michael Lynch, and I thank you for joining me today. Across from me is Denny. On the controls is Ryan. We've got a very interesting show for you today to follow up what was a very interesting Tuesday night. We're going to start off by telling you that Team DML is the place you want to be during this election season. If you are listening to this and you are not a member, you should consider otherwise. We're going to be having for the next 6, 7, 8 months of this election year, because clearly now it is a Biden-Trump contest. We are going to be having incredible video. We're going to have incredible insight. We're going to have live chats. We're going to have everything you want. You won't get it anywhere else. You're not going to get this from us on Facebook. You're not going to get it from us on Twitter. You're not going to get it from anybody, for that matter, on those places. The DML News app is going to give you a great news feed. But if you want to see the videos, and if you really want to interact with Ryan, Denny, myself, you want to be a member of Team DML. We have various different levels of membership. The lowest one is $12, where you could just wind up getting an ad-free experience. But from there, it starts as little as $30, goes up to $500. You get a lot of free stuff, tons of free CBD and discounts on CBD. And then for those who don't want the CBD stuff, like I said, at $30, less than $3 a month, you could be in there and you could get everything you need for at least this election season. It's the most important election that we have ever faced, not in my lifetime, but as a country. With that being said, Dennis, we had a very interesting primary yesterday, one that we expected would be the case. Joe Biden won everything, because he's running against nobody. But in some states, he didn't get 10 to 15%. A lot of states, he didn't get in the double digits the vote. People voted for a ghost. Anybody else but Biden. The Never Biden crowd. They were out there in strong force last night, 10%, 12%, 15% across the states. So Joe Biden is in trouble. The Democrats are in trouble. And Haley, also known as Nikki Haley, the former governor of South Carolina and the old ambassador to the UN, she's history. She's toast. She didn't stand a snowball's chance in hell. She wasted her time. She wasted donor money. She wasted useless conversations slamming Donald J. Trump, the same guy who appointed her to be the ambassador of the UN. She has no loyalty. She has absolutely no dignity. She spent her time just trying to get more popularity. You and I know from here, where does she go? She doesn't have a political life. She's over. MAGA, the Republicans, they're going to never like her. They're certainly never going to love her. She's only going to have the radical right, like the Liz Cheney's of the world, and of course the left. So what she did was she highlighted herself for round two of making gazillions of dollars on boards like, you know, who knows, Boeing, Halliburton, whoever wants to go to war, they'll get Haley, they'll get her. They'll say, please champion for us over there in K Street down in D.C. Be a lobbyist for us. We're going to pay you gazillions of dollars because you're Nikki Haley. What she did over the last few months is do nothing, Dennis, but highlight her profile so she can highlight her wallet. If anybody missed that message, you just got it here today on the DML News Podcast. Your take on Donald Trump's sweeping victories last night throughout state after state, what it says, and I think you also have a video of the president.
Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, as of 6 a.m. this morning, his delegate count is at 995. So, like you said, this is an absolute sweep.
Right, you need 1,200, I think, to win. 12-something to win. So he's right there.
12-15, yep. Yeah, so, I'm sure by the end of the day, we'll have all the numbers in, and there's no question that he will be our 2024 nominee. And to your point, you know, Haley's strategy here was maybe Donald will get taken out by either legal means or, you know, I don't even know what else she was really expecting, because it was really just the lawsuits I think she was waiting on. But to your point as well, you know, she doesn't really have a future here. McCarthy was on.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
So go ahead, tell them the story.
Yeah, you know, he's trying to say
McCarthy was on Fox News.
Yeah,
late night after primaries were the results were coming in. They interviewed him, and what did he say?
Well, you know, he tried to claim that, you know, Nikki's going to have a bright political future ahead of her, which is funny coming from him, considering what has resulted in him becoming.
Yeah, where's he right now?
An ex-speaker. Yeah,
exactly. Where's he right now? What does he know? Yeah, so he got on last night and basically said, Nikki Haley is a powerhouse in the GOP. She was pulling in 20%, 22%, 15%, you know, from state to state to state. The one state where she actually gave Trump the run for his money was in Vermont. Now, we are very familiar with Vermont. We had a house in Vermont. The reason why she did well in Vermont is because Vermont is very, very lightly populated. I don't even think they have 1 million people yet. Maybe with the illegal aliens, they're probably reaching that way. But when we lived there, it was about 750 to 800,000 people. The lion's share of people in that state, the lion's share, the big city, if you will, which is like a town in Florida, the big city is Burlington. You cannot find, notwithstanding maybe Austin, Texas, Portland, Oregon, Seattle, Washington, you will not find a more woke, and I mean woke, city in the United States than in Burlington. Great little story about Burlington. You guys may remember we were shooting, we did the tour around the United States, right? America the Beautiful. And we were going to do part two. So I got us sort of a trip up there to go up there and do filming. So we had been to Burlington before that on a family trip. And it was beautiful in the sense that cobblestone all throughout the town. You walk up and down these streets. Some of them, no cars allowed. It's just really daytime in America, nighttime in America, Christmas, just beautiful. And you're like, wow, you know, despite the liberalism that I hear from people that is around here, I'm not seeing it. I'm seeing a lot of pro-America, an American flag almost on every single little pole outside the stores. It is America, or at least it leads you to believe that. Because when we went back up there to film, we wasted our money because I ultimately decided I'm not doing this. This isn't America the Beautiful. The American flags were changed with Black Lives Matter flags. Burlington has a college there. I'm not sure which it was, University of Vermont or Vermont State or whatever it was, filled with the most liberal kids you can imagine. So when you look at the map to where it is that she wins in the cities, if you will, the two big cities of Vermont. Everything else, which is very rural, very spread out. I mean, you could drive 2 miles before you see neighbor after neighbor. I mean, the place we were at, the place I had, was a 23-acre farm, right, up by Canada. So with all that in mind, you wound up having a left-dominating state. Basically have Republicans who really aren't Republicans. For whatever reason, they can't totally call themselves a Democrat. If you look at the Republican governor of that state, he voted for Biden. He's a never Trumper. So that is not a victory in my sense. But McCarthy was trying to make a point that she got 10%, 15%, or whatever it may be. And therefore, she is a future force in the GOP. In other words, saying, don't make a mistake. This woman's going to run for president again in a couple of years from now, and she may actually indeed get it. Because why? Trump's only going to be around for 4 years, or Biden's only going to be around for 4 years. Nikki Haley doesn't have a snowball chance in hell to get anything. MAGA and the Trump alignist, the one who just aligned with him, will never, ever, ever pull a vote for Nikki Haley, and I'm in. I align with those people. I'm on that list.
All right, same here. She showed her true colors this entire campaign. To your point, you know, she was appointed by Trump. She served in his cabinet. And yet, you know, the actions she's took throughout this entire campaign, like, you know, wishing for his downfall, not just for him to lose the nomination, but, you know, even supporting the E. Jean Carroll verdict. Like, it just, she showed her true colors. And obviously, dollar bills speak better to her than actually what American people want.
When the people came out yesterday, and this was state through state through state through state through state, there are always media companies out there and polling companies out there asking voters what was most important to them. And time again, didn't matter where it was, time and time again, it turns out to be that immigration is number one, economy is number two. Flip it around, economy is number one, and immigration is number two. Those were the two resounding topics that people continue to come back with. And, you know, I saw something earlier today, and I want to repeat it. I put this to the side for a second. You know, life is short. It's not a dress rehearsal. It's a one-time act. Every single day that you get is precious. You don't know. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. So we have to live every single day as if it's our last, because one day we will certainly be right. And I saw something that said, you know, the average age for a woman in the United States is 82 years old. That's how long they live. A man is 78. Take that number, if you're a man, 78. Take it 82 if you're a woman. Take your existing age and do the subtraction. How many years do you have left, if statistically you fit into that pile? Then divide that by 365 days. Then divide that number by, times that number by 67%, because one third of every day you're sleeping. That's how much time you actually have to live. And I did that math and I'm like, wow, I got a couple thousand days left, you know, maybe 5,000 days left. When you think of it in those terms about how life is short and how every day means the most, if you're an American citizen who has paid your bills, paid your taxes, by and large, follow the laws, try to go out and get a job, you work really hard, you do everything right that you possibly can, you try to make a family, you pull that family through the system in the sense that you send them to school, hope they'll get a good education, and hope that they'll be able to compete, survive, and live the great American experience. We all basically want the same thing. We should all want the same thing. Some of us may disagree the best road in which to get there. Is it more conservative? Is it more liberal? But for the first time in America, I'm starting to see both liberals and conservatives, and I don't mean politicians. I mean the American individual who I just described, who has a limited number of days on this earth. I am seeing them both complain about the same topic. I can't remember the last time that I've ever seen that. 9/11, maybe? We need better national security. Everybody needs more money in their pocket. Everybody needs the economy to be the best it possibly can. But when you look at an issue, immigration and Joe Biden's policies regarding immigration and how he destroyed Trump's policies is becoming a national outcry. Everybody is absolutely impacted by this. And this is what is actually going to take down Joe Biden. Because economies, whether people recognize it or not, are cyclical. They go up, they go down. That's the ebb and flow, just like the stock market, right? But with an economy, you get this sort of cycle. And we are in a cycle right now, based on what Joe Biden has done, where it's going to crash if he gets another 4 years. It's going to crash. Maybe Donald Trump can stop that crash from happening because everything's aligning up. It's been a very long time to get there. Immigration is not an ebb and flow. The ebb and flow of the economy lets you know that maybe you lost a little cash, but you'll be able to make it back. In this particular case, there's no ebb and flow. There's no cycle. There's no up and no down. What Joe Biden is doing to our country through mass immigration, most of it illegal, is he's creating a one-way stock. He's creating a one-way economy that goes from bad to recession to depression to point-blank poverty. We are on our way to third world status. We have people coming in here, taking our resources, taking our money, taking our jobs, taking people's lives. We just all saw a 22-year-old girl who was simply jogging at her university to get killed by an illegal alien. We see all these different kids getting hurt, raped, you name it. People are tired of it. You're ruining their great American experience. They have a limited amount of time here, and they shouldn't have to be sharing it or worrying about it. Because the person next to them is an illegal alien who doesn't deserve to be in this country. Democrats don't want it. Republicans don't want it. When I'm talking about people in the United States, the only people who want it are those who want cheap labor. And my God, how much cheap labor do we need? I think we have enough jobs for everybody. And then number two is the people who want to change this country forever and make it into a third world nation that can be dominated, where it's just a one world order. That's what Obama wants. That's what Clinton's want. That's what Biden's want, because they're going to be at the top. They're going to be at the top of the World Economic Forum. They're going to be at the top of all those elite forms that we hear about, all those formats. They're like, wait, what is that called? What's the thing of Rome? I mean, all these different groups, Obamas will be in there. They will be locked. That's why Michelle Obama doesn't want to be president. She doesn't want to be president of the United States. She wants to be ruler of the world. She wants to be ruler of the world. And that's how you do it. You've got to crush the main source of the United States, and then it becomes all one. The people who are voting, including the Democrats, are finally figuring that out. Joe Biden does not stand a snowball's chance in hell when it comes to this election.
Definitely agree. I mean, like you said, the primary results kind of showed it that, you know, while he was winning those states, he wasn't literally winning by, like, you know, these crazy inescapable margins. In fact, he lost American Samoa to some absolutely out of left field random guy. But even Minnesota, the amount of uncommitted votes, because that was another category, you know, uncommitted.
Right.
It's just showing that he is not favored, not by even the most ultra left of liberals, because they'll even attack him for other issues that maybe conservatives disagree on. But he is actually in a position of he can't win. Meaning the you know, the spirit of any American voter. I don't know anyone who is passionate about him. They may say, I'm just voting blue because vote blue, whereas like Trump actually literally encompasses passion from people. So I would be actually now more shocked if he, like we always say, is going to end up being the nominee all the way till November. I think maybe he drops out for health reasons, or, you know, whether it's something with the Hunter Biden stuff going on. I just don't see how they are going to naturally win. Best way to put it.
I just saw a video the other day. I won't even bother playing it here for you because it's so nauseating, but it is his press secretary. And she's up there and trying to sell people on the fact that she said this president has accomplished more in 3 years than any other president of our lifetime. And I thought about that for a second and I said, you know, she's absolutely right. Nobody has ever destroyed the United States as fast as this guy has. When you take the great American experience, when you take the mom and dad, when you take the youngsters like you and your brother and your sister, whatever, you take anybody, I don't care if they're liberal or conservative, they all live in the same vortex right now. Immigration and economy. Think about this. It doesn't matter what it is that you are, blue or red. You go to work. You get your check, you take that check, and you see taxes are being pulled out of it. What is left? You go to the grocery store. That's everybody's universal place. We all have to go get our food and water. You go to the grocery store. The majority of your check is now being pulled for everyday living expenses. Food is up, drinks are up, electricity's up, energy's up, gasoline's up. Every single thing is up. So now you sit there at the end of a Sunday, you got paid on Friday, and you're ready to go to work on Monday, and you see that all that you have in your pocket is lint. And you say, where did my money go? You're not going to start thinking about abortion. You're not going to start thinking about education. You're not going to start thinking about the military. You're not going to start thinking about the pipelines, although those are all important things. You're not going to think about climate change. You're going to think about two things. My money went to pay for overinflated items that I used to pay 50% on this for, and my taxes are going to the 8 million people that Joe Biden let in this country right now, who are getting free hotels, free food, free Visa cards, free cell phones, and a stipend every single day, depending on some places, on how much it is that they can go and eat for free. And you realize that's what your taxes are going to. That's what you're paying. And then if you go past that one, you realize the fact that your taxes are paying for the Ukraine war. And you're saying, I don't want this anymore. So even though there's primary voters going there and voting for Joe Biden, on the large scale, independents are the ones who win elections, the people in the middle. And I can never see a day where a normal person with a good brain who's an independent, who looks at the two things that I just described to you, says, let me give Joe Biden another chance. Because the third thing that adds into that is Joe Biden looks like a feeble, weak, incoherent man. And I believe that if they pull him and they stick somebody else in at this point, because it's getting late, that person's not going to have enough time and relationship with the American people. They're going to say the Democrat Party's in chaos. I'm going back to Trump.
That's a good point. Yeah, I mean, everyone kind of has their predictions on that matter, but to your point, until it actually happens, it's really just speculation. Look, I just think my biggest takeaway, in summary here from Super Tuesday, is that the energy and motion that Trump has accumulated is unprecedented. I mean, this was an absolute sweep. There was no close calls. There was no chance of Nikki ever coming up skirting behind unless there was some, a red flag that we didn't know about. I mean, I read a tweet and someone had said, and it was funny because you mentioned about independent voters, that, he wasn't a big Trump guy, but he would vote for Trump because when he compares him to other politicians, he never felt like he was talked down to by Trump. Whereas every other politician is, this is how you should run your life. This is how we're going to control your life. And you got to be on board with what we're pushing. Whereas Trump, when he goes and visits construction workers, I know we said it before, he goes in his classic black jacket and red tie. Doesn't put on a worker construction cap. Maybe he does for safety reasons, but he doesn't go gimmicky. Whereas
he doesn't pretend he's something he's not.
Exactly. He is who he is. And that is what people love about him. It's what I like about him. It's that he's just Trump. He's not trying to play into any other facets.
Why don't we play his video right now? What he said in his victory speech from Mar-a-Lago. Play it, Ryan.
Yes.
Well, thank you very much. They call it Super Tuesday for a reason. This is a big one. And they tell me, the pundits and otherwise, that there's never been one like this. There's never been anything so conclusive. This was an amazing night, an amazing day. It's been an incredible period of time in our country's history. It's been sad in so many ways, but I think it's going to be inspiring because we're going to do something that, frankly, nobody's been able to do for a long time. We've watched our country take a great beating over the last 3 years, and nobody thought a thing like this would be possible. We wouldn't have Russia attacking Ukraine. We wouldn't have Israel being attacked. Iran, as you know, was broke when I was running things. They were broke. They didn't have money for Hamas. They didn't have money for Hezbollah. We had no inflation. Inflation is destroying the middle class. It's destroying everything. Inflation, if you look back over the history, hundreds of years back, it's called a country buster. And that's what it's doing to our country. What's happened with inflation has been unbelievable. A lot of people say, a lot of experts have said, the stock market's the only thing that's doing well, and that's doing well because our poll numbers are so much higher than Joe Biden's. He's the worst president in the history of our country. There's never been anything like what's happening to our country. Today it was announced that...
I watched that full speech that he gave, and it was really well done. He didn't go off target. He didn't start getting into these crazy, sometimes side stories that he tells. It's not worth it. Trey Gowdy last night was on Fox News. I think I got to agree with him on what he said. He said, now is the time for Trump to really straighten up, in the sense that he doesn't have to go righty anymore. Now he's got to go middle. And if there's one complaint that people say from the middle, is that they think he's too abrupt, or he's too focused on creating these nicknames and all the other stuff. That shtick that he does gets him the nomination. Now he's got to start moving to the middle to get those independents. Now he's got to start focusing all of his time on immigration, economy, getting out of Ukraine. Those three things, boom, 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 boom. He keeps on talking about those over and over and over again, how he's going to boost the economy and kill inflation, how he's going to secure the border and get rid of these people that are here who don't deserve to be here, how we're not going to fund any more weaponry or money to Ukraine. He starts talking about those things. You will pull people over. Now, we're going to play a video right now, very interesting video. This is coming out of Denver, Colorado. The people of Denver, Denver is a far left city. Denver is now going to start, according to this report, cutting back the hours of public employees in Denver so this way they can pay for the illegal aliens. Take a listen.
That it's laying off employees in order to pay for the migrant crisis. But the city is telling hourly employees that they may have their hours reduced to zero. Just don't call them layoffs. Here's Mark Salinger.
When we got a tip that employees at this rec center were being told they no longer had jobs, we asked the city if there were new layoffs that hadn't been announced yet. Can you confirm if this is accurate? I asked the mayor's office and Parks and Rec Department. Their answer was meant to assure us that we were wrong. No layoffs, they said. However, some employees may have their hours reduced to the point where they may not receive any hours. They're not calling it layoffs, but it definitely sounds like some people may not have jobs anymore.
These direct impacts today on DMV do not involve layoffs, nor do Parks and Rec involve layoffs of our current employees. We will have folks that are hourly workers that will have fewer hours.
When Mayor Mike Johnson announced earlier this month that the city would cut budgets, he warned hourly employees would lose some work. Now we know they could lose all their work.
I don't want to hide the fact that this matters a lot to those people that are on the front lines.
The Parks and Rec Department tells us everyone from front desk workers to coaches to lifeguards are considered on-call employees that could be impacted by these cuts. The department has been told to cut $4.3 million to help the city pay for the migrant crisis.
That's just, like, why do we just keep emphasizing and putting illegals on a pedestal? And I hate, too, how a lot of these people have been switching the rhetoric on things. You know, it's basically layoff, and yet, you know, they're just going to try and word salad it and try to downplay it as they always do. And it's just a shame. Like, you know, like I think there's going to be an issue deep within the American core that if you work hard, you succeed. Because imagine if you're working hard and next thing you know, they're telling you they're reducing your hours to make way for illegals. You know,
make way, meaning you have to pay for the illegal. So it goes back to what I said earlier. Your tax money is going to pay for the illegals. In this case, they're getting double whammed because their taxes that they're still going to pay on their part-time job is going to pay for the illegals. And the reason why they got a part-time job is because the hours that have to cut back that would pay them from the city of Denver is paying for the illegals. This is about paying for the illegals. And you know what people don't like, Dennis? And I don't care if you're a liberal or you're a conservative, if you vote Democrat or you vote Republican or you don't vote at all. When you've got your money and you pay for somebody else, it's got to either be for one of two reasons. A, you just have incredible generosity and you want to buy somebody a meal, you want to buy somebody a vacation, you want to buy somebody a car, whatever it is that you want to buy somebody. Or number two is it's your kid and that's your responsibility. Nobody wants to have to pay for somebody else. And in this case, that's what's happening. And they're paying for it multiple different ways. Now, here is the most insulting part of this. Last night on MSNBC, the former press secretary, Ms. Psaki, who now is making herself a fortune for just telling lies and being a complete radical idiot on television, her and that Rachel Madcow, right, who looks like, well, you know what she looks like. She looks like she probably sees the press secretary on weekends, the existing one. All right. They had the audacity to sit there and say that Virginia, the people of Virginia are complaining about the border, about the immigration. My God, they're not even a border state. I mean, it's so insulting. But before we play the video, let me just say this. This comes from a Twitter account we follow. An MSNBC panel is mocking West Virginia residents for worrying about the border. An illegal from Venezuela was arrested last weekend for raping a 14-year-old girl in Virginia. He was released into the U.S. by Biden in September 2023 at the Texas border. So they're mocking both Virginia and West Virginia. Ryan, play the video.
I mean, if you look at some of these exit polls, I mean, I live in Virginia. Immigration was the number one issue. Yes. I mean, again, these could change in Virginia.
Well, Virginia does have a border with West Virginia. Very, very contested area.
Build the wall. Like, what?
Everyone needs to be prepared because if you're watching and listening to this show, I know you don't watch MSNBC and CNN, but if you think the crazy Trump talk and downplaying immigration is bad now, with him becoming the nominee, they're going to crank that to an 11 on the out of 10 scale. Because something like that is just so mindless. I've been seeing a lot of, like you said, Madcow, Psaki, and Joy Reid, who I just don't even think is worth
playing.
Can
we just play Joy Reid's video right now?
Okay.
Let's play Joy Reid. Denny's right about Joy Reid. And then I'll let you say about Joy Reid. You've got to listen to this. This has got to be, if Joy Reid, if somebody said, I want you to audition for how stupid you are, this is the clip that she should play. Okay, listen to what she says here.
And by the way, if you want to do another chart of when you saw the spike in border crossings, because it was down to record numbers under George W. Bush and President Obama, it spiked again because of COVID. COVID is the spike again. You just look at the chart. All of these crises that Donald Trump inherited a strong, growing economy and managed to ruin it. By messing up his one crisis, which was COVID, which is why the border went crazy. It's why inflation went crazy. All of those crises Joe Biden has had to fix. Joe Biden's job creation rate is second only to Bill Clinton. He's not only done, you know, fixed it, he's actually been more successful as a domestic policy president than any modern president. All of the things Donald Trump is trying to take credit for on the campaign trail are Biden things. And Biden needs to run out there and take credit for it. Well,
you know, with Joy Reid, first of all, with that new haircut, she just sounds, first of all, like the angry ex-girlfriend. And then, you know, with her haircut right now, she's like emulating Donald Trump. She's got the Donald Trump haircut, you know, the little crop of blonde, but definitely doesn't have his wits or smarts or humor or common sense. Biden has made illegal immigration fundamentally on every level absolutely worse. And I just don't, you know, you got to look at these, you know, Reid, Maddow, Psaki, you know, the people that they bring on, and you just question, like, are they that far removed from reality, or are they just that compromised that, you know, they're going to spew whatever, you know, their managers hand them?
Can they? That's what I'm saying. So to your point, because the truth is that they could go out and find more intelligent, more smarter people, and I'm going to rip her to pieces right now, unlike you, where you're correct. You got her based on her ridiculous look, her ridiculous sound, her ranting and raving, which I think is a reflection of what the boss is, because the boss is at the top in NBC and NBC Universal. They don't have the courage to go on television and say this stuff. So what they do is they find these puppets who are willing to do it, who aren't very smart, who are dumb enough to listen to what the talking points are, and they're going to talk them out even though they're not true. Okay? Because if you got somebody who is intelligent, who is a real reporter or a real journalist, Catherine Herridge, for a second,
yeah.
You know, put her on there. She's going to say, no, I can't say that stuff because it's not true.
And then they fire her.
And then they fire her. So let me go down the stuff that Joy Reid just said in part, which is absolutely untrue. She said that border crossings dropped hugely under George W. Bush and President Obama. We had the worst illegal immigration in this country since Jimmy Carter under George W. Bush. He was almost as open borders as Joe Biden. So when you talk about the numbers going down under Bush, hold on. He caused the problem and then he tried to fix it. They had the Fence Act. So it was under George W. Bush that we had this insane immigration surge and then it was down. So she doesn't know what she's talking about, number one. Number two, do you know how I created my career? Thank you, Barack Obama. Barack Obama was the same way. He wanted to give amnesty and he wanted to do Obamacare. He did the Obamacare, but he never got to the amnesty. He tried to. He wound up giving an amnesty to the youngsters. Okay? What wound up happening? I watched this firsthand. I was in the middle of it. This is how I started. The surge came. It was the first time you ever heard of caravans, massive surges at the border, separating of families, kids wrapped up in cellophane blankets. That was Barack Obama. That was Barack Obama. And then what wound up happening, he ran out of time for the fundamental transformation, because the fundamental transformation that he promised was going to be through immigration. And he just never got there. And the reason why he never got there is because he wound up becoming a lame duck president. And he didn't figure out what he could do with asylum. He didn't figure that out. Nobody on his team figured it out. Donald Trump came in, and unlike what she just said, Donald Trump brought the border crossings to a record all-time low. When Barack Obama left office, the crossings were anywhere between 50,000 to 75,000 per month. Barack Obama was a disaster at the border. Not as bad as George W. Bush, but a disaster. When Trump took office, April, 3 months after he took the keys to the Oval Office, our crossings were 15,000. 15,000. She is out of her mind. She is lying through her teeth. Now, next thing she lies about, that she says the spike at the border was COVID, saying that that was Trump's mess. Trump didn't start COVID. That started in a Chinese lab, because the Democrats' fanboy, Mr. Fauci, helped fund gain of function. Okay? Wuhan lab. That's where COVID came from. And all these crazy lockdowns, stop it, you know, all this stuff, that was the left. And Trump bought into it. It is his, she's right about one thing. This is his biggest mistake of his presidency. I don't think he'd ever do it again. But she says that the surge came at the border at COVID. That's not true. The surge came at the border about 10 months after Trump came into office. That's when the next surge started. The next time you heard caravans and what have you, it was like, hey, what happened? And as people would know who watched They Come to America 4, what happened was is that Trump said, hey, I'm going to get soft on DACA. Let's do a DACA deal. The amnesty that Barack Obama put in place that was running out because it had a limited standpoint in terms of time, Trump tried to use that to pay for his fence. He said, hey, Democrats, you give me the money for my fence, I'm going to give you DACA. Well, that message went around the world. And that's where the next surge came from, not COVID. That surge that she's referring to was already in full-blown place by the time COVID came. And when COVID came, the border surge stopped, because we, believe it or not, didn't let a single person into this country. This woman doesn't know what the hell she's talking about. She says that Trump inherited a strong economy. No, he did not.
No, he didn't.
What wound up happening was that the Bush economy in 2008 was a crash. Obama inherited a crash. He and his administration did as much as they possibly could. They bailed out the automobile industry. They did as much as they possibly could to bring that back. But they did it on false premises. More people were out of work. The workforce was horrible. All payments to people, their wages were all down. When you look, I know this stuff, if you can't tell, by the back of my hand. It is like asking me to tell you about my life. I lived this every day for all these years. So the economy was on its way down. And then all of a sudden, as Trump came in the last couple of months, that's when you started seeing employment going up and the stock market going up. That wasn't because of Obama. That was because they knew Obama was gone. And the sentiment was for people, hey, we're happy. And November and December had an uptick to it. Plus, not only that, it's also Christmas. So that time of season always has an uptick to it, both in employment and in economic conditions. Trump comes in, does his thing. Boom. The best economy we have ever had in our country, especially in my lifetime. She's going to assign that to Biden. She says that Biden fixed the COVID. And then she turns around and says that Joe Biden is the second best job creator after Clinton. Hold on. Wait a second. One thing. I will give Clinton his credit. You want to know why Clinton had a great job growth? Because the internet came out when he was there. He wound up benefiting. That's why I said before, the economy, Dennis, is ebb and flow. It's a circle of life. And if sometimes you hit it right, you're going to be at the circle at the right time. Clinton, you know, I know Al Gore created the internet, but when you go past Al Gore creating the internet, which is a joke, by the way, Bill Clinton benefited from all of this investment in technology. Take that out, because that's luck. That could have happened to a Republican. It couldn't happen to a, it could have happened to a Democrat. What wound up happening with Donald J. Trump is he built this economy based on tax breaks. If he don't give those tax breaks, he's in that ebb and flow as well. Maybe getting lucky, maybe not getting lucky. That is it. Joe Biden created more jobs than anybody because all the jobs were lost during COVID. Yeah. Everybody was told to go home. There was no work. Everybody was out of work. Everything was going down. Donald J. Trump saved things by coming up with free money and sending out relief to companies and said, you don't have to pay it back for as long as one thing. You keep your employees. And so that's where that started. They get Trump out of office. We know how they did that with the election. I can't believe it was done the way they try to sell it. I would be with Trump on this one with the big lie. And then Joe Biden comes back in, and what winds up happening? COVID's over, and now everybody starts rehiring their people, and Joe Biden is freaking trying to do what Barack Obama did when it came to deportations. And then I'll end talking, and you could go back. Joe Biden took a guy, let's call him Joe Smith. Joe Smith had a job as a mechanic, lost his job as a mechanic, got his job back as the mechanic. He's counting that as a new job. That's not a new job. That's like hitting pause on a song and then hitting play and saying, I listened to two songs today. No, you didn't. You listened to one, you stopped. Barack Obama likes to get his reputation, and Joy Reid would tell you this, as the deporter in chief, that he deported more people than Donald Trump. Baloney. Here's why it is that he has the reputation as being a big deportation guy. A true deportation is one from wherever, one from Guatemala, comes over to this country, goes through the entire court system, and the court system says you are hereby deported. That is a deportation. So when you get somebody who does that, that's when that number should go up. What Obama did was he took what's called turnbacks, and he created that into what he considered to be a deportation. He changed the meaning of the word. So basically, it comes down to this. If Juan from Mexico swims over the Rio and the Border Patrol agent catches him, the Border Patrol agent doesn't have to go through a process like he does for somebody from Guatemala, because it's Mexico. You're allowed to turn them back. They don't have to go through the court system. You take Juan, you take him over to the international bridge, you walk him back over, you say, get back in your own country. That was considered a deportation under Barack Obama. Now, when Juan tries it five more times for the day and gets caught all five times, Barack Obama says, we did five deportations today. And therefore, that's why that number is so skewed. So these lefties, not only are they stupid on television, not only are they doing other people's work, they're liars, and they don't have an idea. First idea of what it is that they're talking about.
Oh, yeah. I mean, even going to that Maddow and Psaki clip, to think that immigration, as you just quite literally brilliantly laid out, is not going to impact states that aren't just border states is, I don't even know a word that's crazier than asinine. It impacts everywhere. And you, like you said, you know, Obama can fiddle those numbers. You can fit. I mean, the Biden administration went back and fiddled their job creation numbers at the start of this year for 2023. So, you know, they can manipulate numbers all they would like or play around with them. But it's like I say, you can't fake reality. You can see visually when there are illegal immigrants on the street trying to look for those cash jobs. You can see the comparison if there's more now than there was before. You could see it at the border when Bill Malugin's down there and says, I can't even get to all the stories that are happening because it's so unprecedented. So like you said, it's a lot of spewing lies. And then for them to attack Virginia citizens because they have a very, and you know, they try to paint it as, and I saw this with MSNBC's headline, you know, Trump was speaking regarding, you know, immigration, and they had their banner as anti-immigration rhetoric. Trump has never been against legal, but that's with an L, immigration. No sane person is. That's the point of the country. illegal immigration is the issue that everyone is up in arms about, because it's become every factor of life. So for them to, you know, say like, oh, you know, it's they border West Virginia, you know, I would love to see Maddow and Psaki maybe spend one day in West Virginia and see the workers that have been displaced because, you know, cheap labor is coming through. They don't just come through and stay in Texas and Arizona. They go through the country.
Well, don't forget, West Virginia is Trump country. There are a few states in this nation where he dominates as much as he does in West Virginia when he's elected. And that to them, they look, MSNBC knows where their viewership is from, and they know they don't have a whole lot of people coming in from West Virginia. So what do? They take the American people and they denigrate them. They make them into deplorables. They make them into white trash. And that's why Virginia needs to have, it's concerned about borders, because they're bordering up to that white trash Trump voting West Virginian.
Right. Yeah. There's this book out. I'm not even going to name the author because it's irrelevant, but he's a liberal guy and he just released it. And the title of the book, and you could probably guess the contents, White Rural Rage.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is so raging about, I don't know, maybe living on a farm, homesteading, growing your own food, having your own cattle, having your own way of life, raising a family under probably Christian or just, you know, what's supposed to be pro-Western principles, and also just being, I don't know, a contributor to the American economy that a lot of our coastal cities don't realize how important the heartland of the U.S. is. You know, they would know if it just was gone tomorrow, but for them to then attack such a certain group is ridiculous, when we all know that the group here that is causing all the issues lies within D.C.
It's insulting. You know, the other thing you were just talking about, how it is the American people are seeing what's going on. You know, you see Bill Malugin and stuff like that. I'll tell you where they're seeing it mostly, though, Dan. They're seeing it in their schools. When you're told that your kid can't go to school today because we're going to use your school as a migrant housing facility, or when all of a sudden your kid used to have 22 kids in school, and now all of a sudden he's got 26, you walk in and the new four people don't even speak a lick of English.
Or they can't go to school because some disease that wasn't supposed to be around is now broken out because someone that crossed over the border brought it.
I.e. measles here in Florida. Yeah. Right. We see it in our hospitals. You go into the hospital, maybe, you know, you're not having a heart attack, but maybe you're having real, you know, serious pains in your side. Maybe your appendix. You're thinking about your appendix. You walk into the hospital and you see that it's crowded. You know, you say, hey, you know what? It's 6 a.m. Actually, I'll give you a perfect example. I mean, I've seen this before. I'd lived this before. You know, I had a side pain. I thought maybe my appendix was starting to go. So it was like 9 o'clock at night. It wasn't that bad. I said, you know what? I'll monitor it. And then tomorrow morning, if it's still bad, I'll go in. Especially I'll go in like 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning. So this way I'm in and out. 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning. I still have the little pain on my side. I go into the hospital. And what do I see? It was like Mexico and Guatemala. I emptied out everybody. And I was like, oh my God, I'm on a line. I got to sit here and go in a line to wait to get examined because all these people are using this place as their primary care physician. You want to know where else? Hotels. You go into walk into a hotel. Sorry, we have no rooms. How do you have no rooms? And then all of a sudden you see that, you know, everybody there is from, like I said, Central America or wherever it is around the world. So people are seeing it everywhere. I mean, I just even saw a video, Dennis, I was going to play it here, but it had too much profanity on it. There's a guy, he's in Philadelphia. He's a black guy. You could hear just by the way he's talking, because, he, you know, he uses words like homie, and he actually uses the N-word in its full, and you could just tell he is. But he's filming it. He's like, hey, man, get ready. They're now taking over our corners. They're just hanging out on the corner waiting for something to come. They're just hanging. He goes, we're going to war. Everybody's seeing it. Everybody's seeing it. And you brought up another thing, and I want to end the show on this. Oh, go ahead.
Well, you know, look, because illegal immigration for every normal American should be the pressing issue. And I think that is actually maybe why, if there is some hope here, that I think the Democrats will lose. Because we always say, right, when it comes to the politicians, GOP really can't get its act together, but the Democrat politicians are like this.
Yeah.
But when you go to the voter base, I think most Republicans saw through the charade of Haley, and they did, because most of her supporters weren't real Republicans. They were people who just said, we just don't want Trump. We want to make sure someone else is in there. So that, I think, actually, there's more unity with GOP voters and Republican voters. But when it comes to Democrat voters, I don't think anything beats the AOC video that came out this week. They will turn. They will turn. They will never be satisfied.
You're referring to the AOC video where she's coming out of a theater and some pro-Palestinian protester is getting in her face, telling her that she is the problem because she's not stopping genocide or whatever it may be.
And
she starts
the clip or
No. I don't want to say we're running late on time. But I mean, she basically screams back at this protester.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, she's getting attacked by her own side.
Yeah. What's funny is you take that video and she curses too. You know, she's dropping F words. Like she was rattled, and you go 3-4 years back to her tweet saying, the point of activism is to make those in power uncomfortable. Talk about a spin right there.
Oh, well, this is what I'm saying. She's an idiot.
She's an idiot. She doesn't even realize what she's saying. No. So,
her specialty is making a Tito's and soda, and you want her to sit there and make policy? It doesn't happen. Look, there's something here that is important to say before we close out. We're running long. You said something before, and I didn't want to interrupt you. You talked about Trump and Trump's momentum. Every single time that the left does something to Trump, and they do it unfairly, which is every time, what they're not given credence to is the independent voter. They know MAGA is going to get pissed. They even know, I don't consider myself MAGA, although I believe in Make America Great Again, but to me, when I say MAGA, I mean, these are the people who say Trump does no wrong. My job is to be calling balls and strikes as I see him. If I see Trump doing something wrong, I'm going to call it out. I am for America first. I'm pro DeSantis. I'm pro Trump. I'm pro that kind of, I'm pro conservative values. That's how I am. So when they're bashing Trump and they're trying to take him down, what they think is they're hitting the MAGA crew, they're hitting the DML crew, they're hitting people like us. What they're not realizing is that the independent is sitting there and saying, whoa, wait a second. I put a value on my building that I bought. Wait a second. I put a value on my house when I refinanced. You're telling me that if I start doing this stuff now, I could be held accountable for a crime? That doesn't make sense. And they start to say, if they can do it to him, they can do it to me. And I think they fear that. And here's where I think Trump has to make a big decision in the next couple of days. And then I'll give you the last word. They are going to look to collect $350 million from him, maybe $450 million with the interest and stuff. He's got two choices. He's got to come up with the cash or he's got to get bonded. He can't even make an appeal until he's bonded. The other option is if he does not bond and he does not come up with the cash, they will start to take his assets until he can. My sense is hold your breath, roll the dice, and let them take Trump Tower. Because when they take his asset and they steal his asset, and it will only be temporary, he'll get it back. All of America is going to say, oh my God, they're confiscating his stuff. They could do it to me. And I think that could be what would push him over to the guaranteed victory. Last word goes to you.
And I think that was my overall point. If you're in that independent box, I would like to believe, and I really do believe it, that you are part of the America First. Because look, MAGA, yes, it's become a Trump slogan. It's become a movement. It could be debated if like you fall into the camp or what or not, but reasonably, I would like to think that independents are of the America First. How do we get America to be fixed? Which is why I said the Democrat voters can't get their act. They're too worried about Palestine. They're too worried about the transgender movement. It's almost like selfish tactics. Whereas I think that independent base, to your point, you know, why are my costs going so crazy? Why is shrinkflation happening? Why is the border completely open and people are feeling more unsafe than ever? So when you take that category, you got to remember, and I know you do that. I know you remember, Trump may win and then, you know, 4 years will fly. Who's going to follow that torch of America First? I want someone that's not going to be pushing Ukraine, be pushing Taiwan, be pushing Israel. We want to help them. Great. But there comes to an extent where we have to say, let's help us. And I always think of that analogy you say, where when you're on the plane and there's an emergency, the oxygen masks come down. And what are you supposed to do? You put it on first, because in order to help the person next to you, you can't do that if you're not breathing. So, you know, again, I'm happy that Trump is going to get this nomination, and I hope that he wins. But 2028 will come around the corner, and are we going to fall back into Romney Republicans, where we're like, are they really fighting for us, or some country thousands of miles away? Or is this going to be someone that's going to put our country at the lead of the line and make sure that, you know, every American is going to find success and, you know,
is saved in a way. Good points, Dennis. All right, that's it for us. Tell us what you think, especially if you teamed DML. Put your comments in the live chat. Dennis will take a look, so will Ryan, so will I. And remember, Team DML gives you a whole bunch of great options. If you are a DML app user but not a team member, go to Interact. That's tab number 5 on your app at the very top. It says Team DML Memberships. Give it a read, get a look, see what it is. And I think you would really enjoy it if you joined us. That said, until the next time, God willing, it will be tomorrow. May he bless you and your entire family, and may he bless the United States of America.
And today's blessing I want to give to, may mess up the last name and I apologize, but Tony Weschler. I want to give today's blessing to Tony.
Excellent. We'll talk to you soon.
Have a great day, everybody.
Get the Dennis Michael Lynch podcast every day by subscribing on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, and download the DML News app from the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store for breaking news, merchandise, films, exclusive content, and Team DML.